The boy don't lie.
Boston fans, this is what you've been waiting for.
Thomas, in the paint, tries to spin it up and down.
It's Celtics coverage on CLNSradio.com.
Into Crowder, takes it. Got it! 8 tenths of a second to go!
So what are you waiting for? Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll-free, 347-215-7771.
Put out for you! Marcus Smart at the buzzer!
Well, I guess I'm a little rusty there, but it triggered the intro twice. But welcome to the Celtics postgame show on CLNS Radio. CLNS Radio is the leading online provider in audio video coverage of the Boston Celtics. I'm Nick Gelso. I'm joined tonight by the man, the legend. He is no myth. He's Brian Langford. Brian, you're back. I'm here. We lose.
Listen, we tried our hardest. I want the fans to know real quick. We tried our hardest for me to return on a night where the Celtics pick up a W. It's just not meant to happen when I come back. So I'm sorry that it happened. I'll be the first to apologize.
The Celtics lose, but CLNS Radio wins because Brian Ain't Lying is back on air with us. And, dude, how you been?
Man, you know, after the big promotion at work and then, I mean, it's just crazy. My days have gotten crazy, and, you know, I had to find a way to juggle everything. But, hey, I'm doing good, Nick. I feel like somebody hit the reset button on my entire life, and I'm energized. Even after the Celtics lost, I'm actually energized.
Well, I'm glad to hear you're energized. You have energy because the Celtics certainly didn't tonight, having dropped their fourth consecutive game. Tonight they lose 105-91 to the Toronto Raptors. And really, I mean, I would honestly say I think the Celtics showed up for one quarter. That would be the third quarter, Brian.
I was getting ready to say, whatever quarter you find, you let me know. But, yeah, it had to be the third. But here's the thing, and I know we'll talk about it deep in a few minutes, is Twitter just blew me completely out the door. I mentioned one thing. just a month ago, everybody thought we were going to be the second seed. We were going to be this big threat to Cleveland because Avery Bradley had just beat Cleveland on the road and everything. And then you lose James Crowder. And now all these fans are like, went living on me because I said that Brad Stevens has to reel this team back in. It wasn't saying that I don't understand that Crowder is injured. I'm just saying you can't lose on the road to Indiana, get blown out by OKC, and then turn around and get blown out by Toronto at home twice. You can't have that, Nick. You can't.
Well, no, and obviously a big game tonight versus Toronto, and the Celtics will get them again on the 23rd, I think, at TD Garden, and hopefully Crowder is back for that game. Brian, I mean, how much of an impact does Jay Crowder make? I mean, is it that big that we see this much of a drop-off in energy and defensive intensity? I mean, it was just ugly all the way around.
You know what? And I wish, and maybe Jay Crowder is actually listening to this show on his bed right there for last year. Jay, I want you to know something, Jay. I'm going to compare you to a guy right now that I think you deserved it. It is Kevin Garnett. Kevin Garnett, he was missed from this team when they made that run in 09 and he went down injured. They just weren't the same team again. And Jay Crowder is the dirty guy on your team right now. He goes for all the loose balls. He's going for that tough rebound. He doesn't really care about wanting to score. He's okay with his little average 10, 11, 12 points. But he wants to make the dirty plays. And with Crowder being injured, the Celtics don't have a guy right now who is willing to make those type of plays, willing to make that sacrifice. So they have to find their identity without Crowder. You just can't keep saying, I can't wait till Jay gets back. There's not going to be enough time for Jay to get back. You're going to get him back, But right now, the other guys have to play better. They have to play better.
I would agree. I mean, on this, on a team where you really need, there's no standout star. I mean, Isaiah Thomas, I think he has 8 straight game, 20-plus points. Okay, Isaiah's the star of this team, but he can only do so much. And when you're playing a team, you know, your team, your roster so deep, you really need 1 through 10 contributing. And when, you know, Avery Bradley comes up minus 25 in the box, you know, Amir Johnson, dude, I know you want to talk about Amir Johnson. Yeah, you know, I don't know if I'd go so far as to compare him to the Jet, as I've been seeing you do on Twitter, at Brian 8 Lion, tell him off. But he's been pretty pitiful.
Amir Johnson, let me tell you something, okay? I thought that when we were getting Amir Johnson this summer, I knew what I was going to get. I said, I'm going to get a solid, maybe double-double guy. I was going to get that solid guy in the paint. Well, he really hasn't done nothing. I mean, tonight, I mean, 6 points, 6 rebounds. I mean, somebody tell me, give me an average. If you're good at math, you can with the averages per quarter that he's getting a rebound. That's not acceptable. He's in the starting five tonight, playing against your old team. Are you trying to tell me there aren't no, there's not like a something kicking you in your ass saying, oh, I should go ahead and just destroy my old team tonight? He didn't do it. The 6 points and 6 rebounds, I don't think it's enough. You mentioned Isaiah Thomas after his 20 points. I mean, Evan Turner was next with 12. After that, the Celtics had nobody in double digits. I mean, I'm trying to figure out what's going on with this team right now. And I know me and you briefly talked about Marcus Smart. I mean, we know Isaiah can score. Let's take Isaiah out the equation. Who's the next guy on this team that can score with Isaiah consistently on an every game night basis? Because in the NBA playoffs, you're going to need somebody else to score with him. He's not going to score 20 points, and you think that the other guys are going to score single digits, and you think you're going to win some games. That ain't happening, man. That's not happening.
No, I agree with you. I mean, I totally agree. And you know, it seems like on a different – on each night, it may be another player that steps up. But on nights like tonight where – no one really does. I mean, yeah, you could say Evan Turner with his 12 points and he was aggressive, but not enough. So when no one shows up, I mean, when you're looking at a box score where, you know, the Celtics score 91 points and Isaiah Thomas has a quarter of those points and everybody else, the highest score is take Evan Turner out of the equation. It's a big eight points from RJ Hunter, of all people. And Avery Bradley, that's just not enough. That's just not enough. And panic time, no. This team has gone from not having Kelly Olynyk to now not having Jay Crowder. It's been, you know, the last several weeks have been injury after injury. This lineup has not been whole, but the Celtics cannot be that fragile or they won't last more than one round in the playoffs.
And you know what? That's the problem with Celtics fans. They blow me up on Twitter because you're not a darn Celtics fan. You don't have faith in the team. I have faith, but I'm also a guy that's just going to check reality. And right now, if you can't win on the road in the playoffs, you won't last. If you get blown out at home, you won't last. And let's guess what? I ate crow about Brad Stevens. I know I was a guy who chewed him out, thought he wasn't the right guy for this job, thought he was the complete wrong guy.
Me and too. I was with you.
And I'm mad if they admitted Nick, they're wrong. He is the right guy. He's worked out. But now here goes the time to reel these guys back in because I can tell you right now, there are probably guys sitting in that locker room, dejected, with their heads down, have no idea what to do next. Somebody's got to step up and say, guys, keep your heads up. We got to make pushes because the Celtics have went from, what, number 3 to number 6 all in a couple of days, even though they're technically now one game behind the third spot in the East. But you drop down to 6. That's how quick these things can happen, Nick, overnight.
And young team, devoid really of a stalwart leader. I think the other day we were messaging back and forth and you had said, you know, imagine this team if any one of the big three were on it, and, you know, even at the end of their prime, it would make such a difference. So the Celtics do not have that. they have what they have, and on a young team, the difference between the third seed and the sixth or seventh seed is what? Home court advantage. And I think a young team really requires home court advantage in the playoffs to give them that little push to get them through the tough games, the grinded out playoffs.
They have to. That this young team is going to have to come all the way together. They're going to have to be reeled all the way back in, and they'll put some wins together. But I clearly said this on Twitter right now: the Celtics closing these last couple of games out, they need to pick up either a huge win on the road or a blowout win at home. You have to have one of those going into the playoffs to give your team that extra confidence, because these young guys definitely are going to need it, Nick.
Now, any team, it doesn't matter who you are, you need to be on some sort of a run going into the playoffs, and even furthermore, a young team like this. Now, Sunday facing the Sixers may be, I mean, it's on the road, but that may be the game they need to, in order to get them set straight again, and then hopefully returning back to TD Garden Tuesday against the Raptors, and hopefully we'll have Jay Crowder back in the lineup for that. So Celtics fans are aware, CLNS Radio has become even more comprehensive than ever as we now offer you pre- and post-game coverage. That's right. Celtics post-game show, The Garden Report, Celtics Beat, Celtics Stuff Live, all covering Celtics content here on CLNS Radio. And now we are providing you game day coverage before anyone else leading up to tip-off on game night. The all-new Boston Celtics pregame show with LHR will be released on clnsradio.com on game day at 4 p.m., making it the first pregame show to premiere anywhere online or terrestrial radio and television. And recently, I mean, on every show, really, Larry has had gone to the lengths of having opposing teams, so getting the enemy perspective, opposing teams, broadcasters, and journalists, media, kind of check out and preview the game. So every game night, stay tuned to clnsradio.com or blogtalkradio.com, where you'll get the quick 15-minute pregame report from LHR. Now we're back to tonight's game. I'm going to do a reset here. Celtics drop tonight's game 105-91 to the Toronto Raptors, Atlantic Division. I don't want to say rivals, but definitely competitors, a team we have to beat. The Raptors are obviously playing really good tonight, are really good in general. I think they're winners of three or four straight, Brian, and this is a good team. I mean, it seemed like every time the Celtics would make some sort of a run, Kyle Lowry would pull a shot out of his rear end. I don't know what. And he went for 32 tonight and just seemed to be dropping every big shot. The Celtics could not get it within 5 points.
Well, I'll tell you, since Kyle Lowry trimmed down in the offseason,
yeah,
he has been phenomenal this year to watch. I mean, that game against Cleveland, I think that was the welcoming party for Kyle Lowry. He got confidence. Now that confidence is starting to carry over. And the Raptors, I mean, they look like a team that can be legit in the playoffs. And we know what happened last year when we thought the Atlanta Hawks were that legit team.
Right.
Cleveland, and Cleveland just completely ran over them. But I think Toronto, with their young team, with DeRozan, even with Luis Scola giving them 17 points tonight. And the big part about it was Valanciunas was out tonight. Valanciunas was out tonight. And I don't think when's the last time Damari Carroll even played for the Raptors? I don't think he's even played really much this season. But if they can get Damari Carroll on the floor, Valanciunas with Lowry and DeRozan, I mean, that's
a big, that's a team, that's a serious team, for sure. And you saw it tonight. I mean, all the way around. And I think what was very frustrating tonight for Six fans is the Celtics, what makes them so fun to watch this season, and even at the second half of last season, is how competitive they are, how much they hustle. They don't give up. They get the 50-50 balls. They play great defense. And None of that, except for maybe a six-minute spurt in the third quarter, none of that was on display this evening unless you were wearing a Raptors uniform, because they were all over the court.
I mean, I'm starting to see slow starts again from the Celtics. That's what I'm starting to see.
Yeah, that's killer.
You can't have, like, slow starts and then want to keep playing from in the hole. That's just not the way you want to play. And other teams are just going out there like, hey, it's game time. I don't know what you guys came to do, but we came to win a basketball game. And the Celtics have to do it. And again, yeah, not picking on guys, but I am picking on guys. Jared Sullivan, 6 points, 4 rebounds. I mean,
yeah. And you want to talk about Kyle Lowry trimming up. Jared Sullinger is the only player I've ever seen that gains weight during the regular season. I mean, he looked rotund tonight. He looked slow. He looked overweight. He looked terrible.
Do you remember that picture that got posted during the summertime when they said that?
I wasn't impressed with it. I didn't really see it, to be honest with you. But, yeah, I know exactly what we're talking about.
So, I mean, I'm not the guy to talk about weight. Let me let you guys know. I ain't the guy to talk about weight. But when you make the money that he makes, he's got to get out there. He needs to trim himself down a little bit because, I mean, he's starting to remind you almost of like a Carmelo Anthony. That's why Melo isn't as good as he is no more because he had picked up all this weight, he trimmed down, he picked it back up. I mean, Sully, again, I like Sully. And I don't like the way when he goes Antoine Walker mode. You know me. How I feel about going Antoine Walker mode. But I like Sully, but I'm with you. I wasn't impressed by the quote-unquote weight loss. And I'm damn sure not impressed with his numbers tonight. He's got to be that guy because I'm telling you, he doesn't pick it up now. He won't be on the scene next year. Jared Sullivan will not return to the Celtics continuously playing like this.
Well, the thing is, I think with the inconsistency, I mean, he'll be a double-double machine for 3 or 4 straight games and then not show up for several consecutive games. And if Sully's not rebounding and he's not with his back to the basket, Sully's pretty useless. I mean, you saw it tonight, 4 rebounds, 6 points. He looked like Big Baby out there. I mean, he only played 17 minutes and deservingly so because he was just out of it the entire game. And, you know, let's not forget, too, Jonas Derebko's out, too. I know people will probably laugh about that, but I think Derebko's a good player. He comes out and he hustles, and he could have been used tonight. We needed that energy.
Nick, I know Tyree will probably kill me. I think Tyree may be a Jonas Derebko fan. I don't know if Derebko changes so much of it, but I'll agree to disagree with it. I'll just tell you this. I go back to the guy, Amir Johnson. This was his chance.
Against his team.
And I want folks to hear this. He got outscored by Luis Scola. I mean, wait a minute. I'll give you one better. Bismack Biyombo had 11 rebounds. I mean, these are the things I want Celtics fans to think about when they blow me up on Twitter or something that I'm not. I just want to push my team to another level because I'm not looking for KG, Ray, and Paul again. I'm not looking for that type of team, but I'm looking for a team that shows me.
I do miss it.
Me and you definitely miss it. But if we talked about that, we'd be sitting here all day going nuts.
All day.
I'll bring that point. I would love to have KG, Ray, or Paul on this team right now because I think they are lacking that one veteran leader.
Well, they are.
Team back together.
I'll be honest with you. When Paul Pierce, and I know Celtics fans, especially guys like Tyree, are going to beat the hell out of me for this, but when Paul Pierce, when there were talks of him coming back to Boston this past summer, I thought, perfect. This could be great. You know, veteran leadership, great in the locker room, could mentor the young guys, pass the torch, but yet still could come off the bench and be that calming force and play in the last 3 to 4 minutes of the game where he's daggers. He's lights out.
Yeah, and I know Tyree goes crazy because he goes, why you guys want to bring all these people back? Why do you want to bring them back? And I'm like, well, you got to bring somebody back. And I thought Paul would have fit perfect, you know, with this team, you know, coming back.
Oh, I thought so.
Giving them that energy, giving them that. Just Paul's presence in the building would have changed this Celtics team. Even tonight, his presence would just change. But, of course, it didn't happen. And they're dealing with this team they're dealing with right now. And I just want this team to show consistency because if you don't show consistency, the other team, especially with you being a 6 seed right now, Cleveland's 1, Toronto's 2. Who the heck is number 3 right now? I'm saying true. I don't know who number 3 is because the East is so wide open right now.
But yeah.
You better get away. You better get away from Toronto and Cleveland. You just have to get away. I'll say this. In the playoffs, too, you got to have bench scoring. They don't have bench scoring.
You do.
They don't have that guy that makes me say, you know what, he's going to come off the bench and give us some scoring. I think it's Marcus Smart is on the bench, but Marcus Smart, have we really figured out what Marcus Smart is, Nick? Is he a defensive player?
Here's the thing, Brian. Marcus Smart hasn't figured out what Marcus Smart is yet, and I believe that he's not figured out the player he is yet. Possibly he's not had enough time on the court with the injuries. I think you look at him, what was it, 2 nights ago, he was 1 for 8 from three. Please stop shooting threes. And then tonight, he was decent, but yeah, I mean, is he a defensive stopper? I like him getting to the basket and drawing contact and getting to the line. That's where I like him, and I like him playing defense. I mean, but one thing we have to keep in mind is, by the way, Atlanta is number 3 in the East right now. It's Cleveland, Toronto, Atlanta, Miami, Charlotte, Boston, Indiana, Chicago.
They don't want to play the Hornets. Nick, they don't. Now, I'm going to tell you the honest truth. They don't want to get the 5 or 4 and play the Hornets. The Hornets, arguably, are the hottest team in the Eastern Conference right now. I just want to throw that in there.
Well, and the Hornets and Miami are tied for 4th and 5th seed with Boston a half game back. So you could see Boston's about a full game back, but only a half game back in the loss column and of Atlanta for the 3rd seed. So really, and again, you have Toronto back-to-back, you know, not back-to-back, but you have them, you know, twice in the stretch of 5 days, twice in 3 games. Really, you could have jumped 4 games in the seeding, you know, in the standings there had they beat Toronto tonight and Tuesday. So another golden opportunity kind of dropped. Look at Toronto, 11-1 against the Atlantic Division. Boston 8-6 versus the Atlantic Division. Anyway, today's podcast brought to you by, powered by Audible.com. Audible is the leading online provider in audiobooks of more than 180,000 downloadable titles, literature, fiction, nonfiction, sports, periodicals. Get a free audiobook today with a free 30-day trial from CLNS Radio by going to audiblepodcast.com/Celtics. I just got back from the 80s cruise, Brian, and on my way there and while sitting on the beach, I downloaded and listened to Bob Ryan's book Scribe, which was outstanding, and I didn't pay for it, which was even better because I took advantage of the free 30-day trial from Audible. Audiblepodcast.com/Celtics. Visit there today and get your free 30-day trial. SeatGeek call lines will be opening momentarily. We already have our good boy Nick Sesento on the line waiting. I'm sure he's going to want to talk. Well, you know what? Let's just go to the call lines, Brian. He's been on since before I got on air, so we'll go right to Nick. Nick, what's going on? You're live with Brian Langford and Nick Gelso. What's up?
Yeah, how many times did you hit the intro music? I think it was a little
twice.
Bit more than 2 times there, Nick. Yeah, twice. That's the official count, but I think it was more like 3 or 4 times. I heard that thing stuttering in the background like you had it on loop or something like that.
The switchboard was dragging on me, baby. The switchboard was dragging on me.
Yeah, blame it on the technology. It's never the user. It's always the technology.
That's exactly right, yeah. Hey, did you get my Facebook message? I messaged you on Facebook today.
No, I haven't checked the Facebook messages in a while. I haven't been on my Facebook in a little minute, but I'll make sure to check it to get a message if there was something urgent in there. I'll make sure to check it out.
Check it out.
Yeah.
Anyway, what's your thoughts?
I have a different take on this game than both of y'all, and I think it's easy. What's up, Brian?
What's going on, Nick?
I think it's easy to blame the fat guy, and Sully certainly didn't look good tonight.
No.
But, I mean, 6 points, 4 rebounds, and 1 assist in 17 minutes. I don't think that he got benched because Brad was unhappy with his game, because Brad is known to let players play through, terrible spells. Play through it. He's known to not call timeouts when everyone else in the universe would want him to call timeouts, because he seems to have the philosophy that players can play through it. I think what you ended up seeing instead, why Jared Selinger didn't get more minutes, even though his production when he was out there looked kind of lackluster, is because we saw Kelly Olynyk get 30 minutes. And I think the point of that is to get him back in the rhythm, because he's clearly not. Kelly Olynyk is, you know, 30 minutes for Kelly Olynyk, 26 minutes for Amir Johnson. You guys have already shredded Amir Johnson, so I don't have to do it, thank God, because I was about to rip him one. He's just terrible. He's awful. No matter how long you put him in the game, he hits a plateau of, like, you know, 6 or 7 or 8 points, between 6 and 8 points and 6 and 8 rebounds, and that's it. You can put him in for 15 minutes like he's been getting recently, or you can put him in for 26 minutes like he had tonight, and he's going to have – basically the same production for Amir Johnson. But Kelly Olynyk, 5 points, 4 rebounds, and 3 assists is not a bad stat line in and of itself, but in 30 minutes, that's terrible, especially when it comes at 2 for 7 field goals and 1 for 4 from three-point, which is where we really need Kelly Olynyk to shine, is from three, because we just don't have it. Which brings me to my next point, the next big goat of the day, the sacrificial lamb of the day that nobody else ever talks about, and I always try to bring up on this show, but nobody ever seems to bring him up. He gets the most minutes on the team every single night.
Evan Turner.
Never seems to put up the stats. No! Avery Bradley.
Boom.
Every single night, he gets 35 minutes.
Oh,
well,
you
game
beat up on him. Terrible.
But look at what he's negative 25 in the plus minus. Now, plus minus, I don't get all crazy about, but I mean, it is an indication of something. I think it's as much an indication of how the unit played as it is how that individual player played, because everybody in the starting lineup was in negative figures in the plus minus tonight.
And big,
double digits big. And Evan Turner, by the way, was, I think, the minute 11, and Jared Sollinger was negative 10, by the way. So he was the lowest of the negative.
That's why the plus minus is bullshit. Right, right.
Oh yeah.
And
course,
I'm gonna tell you.
When
I'm gonna tell
you. To justify your point is bullshit. But when you want to use it to justify your point, we throw it out there. So that's how plus minus is used, right?
I don't. That's right. I don't feel Sully got benched. I just felt like, I'm glad he didn't play many minutes, because when he was out there, he was just not out there. He was non-existent. If he's not pulling down rebounds, what's the point? I mean, what really bothers me is 0 for 0 from the free throw line. Amir Johnson, 0 for 0 from the free throw line. You know, are both
0 for 0 from the
free throw line. Okay, I could live with that. Our bigs are 0 for 0. Isaiah Thomas, obviously, because he drives the lane, but Isaiah and Evan Turner, really the only guys who got to the line. Our bigs aren't even getting to the free throw line, and you're not looking at it. You could say, okay, Kelly Olynyk, you know, he's a great free throw shooter. You want him to get to the line, but he's playing on the perimeter more. Johnson and Sully should be getting to the line. I mean, it's just lack of aggressiveness.
Let me ask this, though. And I agree that Avery Bradley shouldn't be playing these crazy minutes, but who else can you play? I mean, I'm looking at the roster right now. Who else can?
Terry Rozier.
Oh, come on.
Look what he did. I mean, Terry Rozier played. Now, some of his minutes were in trash time, but he did play some
trash
minutes.
But
he did play some minutes early in the game along with Ajay Hunter and the other
No, it wasn't Terry.
It wasn't Rozier that had the block, but he had, you know, 5 assists.
It was
and
Jordan
3 rebounds,
Mickey.
You know, 7
yeah.
points, 1 for 1 from 3 points. I mean, RJ Hunter had a nice, you know, scoring game, but he just looked lost when it came to some of the offensive sets. He just, you know, he lost about a good 2 passes in a row that were just completely, like, you know, stripped off of him and laid up for dunks or put up for dunks on the other end. 3 turnovers for RJ Hunter, that's not good. Terry Rozier had 0. And I mean, I've been hearing a lot of talk about, well, you know, if we can get, you know, Evan Turner is holding up the progress or the development of Marcus Smart to be our primary ball handler. But Marcus Smart is not going to be a ball handler in the NBA. He's just not going to be. And getting rid of Evan Turner, you're going to have Marcus Smart trying to run the offense when he just can't do it. We saw him starting, and he wasn't good at it. He was more efficient tonight off the bench, even though he was a plus-minus.
I don't understand why there's still talk about getting rid of Evan Turner. And I hear it on other podcasts. I hear it all over the web. I hear it on Twitter. I see it on Facebook. I don't get it. Brian, chime in on that. I mean, I haven't heard your opinion on Turner. I happen to be one of the guys. You got the two Knicks on the line here that actually respect Turner's game and what he's contributed to this team over the last two seasons.
Evan Turner is a huge point guard. I certainly think that's what he is. He's an oversized point guard that they're trying to mold into maybe a three, And I'm not, I don't like them playing.
I don't think
the
they have
three.
A choice right now.
Yeah, they don't have a choice. I don't like them playing the three. I think Evan Turner's always going to be labeled. Evan Turner could have been great if, only if, only if. And I think that's where you're going with it, Nick. Both Nicks. I think that's where you guys are both going with it. Like, he could be great only if. And I like him on the team. I think he's actually accepted the fact of being a Celtic. Because at one time, I thought he was a smart little brat that didn't want to be on this team because they were going a different direction. But he took the role. He humbled himself. I think he deserves to be on this team. And I like Bradley, too, to a certain extent. I like Avery Bradley to a certain extent. When Avery Bradley goes into a Ray Allen mode, like somebody
yeah.
throughout the gym, I want to
yep.
throw up because that's not – what did we know Avery Bradley for over the years? It was putting him on the best wingman or point guard
yep.
on the floor. And he played defense, but now he wants to just be –
And he's not doing that
be
now.
Ray Allen.
Well, because he's being forced to chuck up double-digit shots per game. I mean, he never really had to do that. If you think about it, I mean, he's having to take when he's shooting well. I don't know. I defend Bradley quite a bit. I guess when he's shooting well, I think he's invaluable. You see him when he's well improved his outside shot. He's great shooting jumpers in motion. I miss the Bradley that used to run the corners and, you know, slash with Rondo, you know, hitting him towards the basket. Yeah, on the backdoor cuts. And I miss that side of him, but that's just not the offense that Brad Stevens plays. And I understand the frustration on nights like tonight, you know, like I said, negative 25, 8 points. You know, it just really not in 33 minutes, just not. But when he's on, I think he really contributes. Back to Evan Turner, I just think people need to lay off him. I mean, I know for a fact he's loved in the locker room. He's loved, but the media loves him. He brings a little lightheartedness to the team. And yet on the court, and as long as he's not chucking up threes, he really is a great contributor. And Evan Turner, I think, is a victim of his draft pick, you know, where he was selected. I think that's what kills him.
And how many
yeah.
years has it been since that draft pick? And how many years has it been?
I think it's still plaguing him.
And I wanted to respond real quick to Brian. He said Evan Turner could have been great. I think that at this point in his career, after the, you know, the nosedive in Indiana and then kind of the resurrection here where he kind of, you know, he was putting up. I don't think there was a point in his career before Indiana and before coming to the Celtics where he was, you know, he became a bench player, became, you know, kind of a role player. I think every single season he put up double-digit scoring for the Sixers. And that season, that half season before he was traded, he was putting up, like, I think over 17 points a game, along with the same, you know, the six rebounds and the four or five assists or something like that. So, I mean, when you give him those max minutes and you put him in, you know, that spot, he's just not the player you want to be. Just like Avery Bradley, I would say, you don't want Evan Turner playing, you know, 35 minutes a game. You want him to be playing the, you know, the 25 to maybe 30 at max, you know, maybe 25, 28 minutes a game that he's playing now. I don't think the Celtics need him to be great. I don't think they need him to be a number two value draft pick. I think they just need him to continue doing what he's doing and also recognize that with the salary cap jumping by basically 50%. If we have,
right.
let's just use flat numbers, we have, you know, 60, a little bit over 60 million in a salary cap now. It's going to jump to about 90 million. That's a 50% increase because half of 60 is 30,
yep.
so you make that's 90 million.
Thanks,
so if the salary cap is going to jump 50%, you got to understand these players, and Evan Turner have been overperforming his low contract anyway. You're going to have to pay him about $10 million, and people are like, oh, $10 million, because they're thinking of the old days.
I don't have a problem with that. Yeah, with the new cap, I don't have a problem. 9, 10,
yeah, that's
9,
what
10
I'm
million.
Saying. They're thinking old days. They're thinking old numbers, like $10 million. Are you freaking crazy? You're gonna pay Evan Turner this? You know, the guy can't hit a 3-point. You know, shot can't hit the broad side of a barn. He's terrible. But you got to think it's the new. What does he give you every night? He gives you at least five something. Whether it's 5 points, five rebounds, five assists, he's giving you like that's basically his baseline. 5, 5, and 5, or 10, 5, and 5, something like that. I mean, that's worth, you know, in the ability that he has, which he's underutilized. But when you play him off the ball, like you did a lot tonight where you play him at the three. He even played a little bit at the four. Like, that's not his strength. He doesn't, you know, and they don't – Brad Stevens doesn't use the post-up game. So when you use Evan Turner at the four where he might be able to post up, even though most power forwards in the NBA at this point are going to be bigger than he is. They don't even post him up when he has a smaller player, when he's playing, you know, shooting guard, and he might be bigger than, you know, somebody. They don't even use the post up with him. They don't use the post up with Marcus Smart. They don't use the post up with Jared Sullinger. It's interesting that we saw Jared Sullinger for a couple of games there just play bully ball, you know, ramrodding through the paint, you know, getting, you know, those scores, you know, putting his shoulder down, getting the points. Now he's back to being the old, you know, jump shooting, you know, Jared Sullinger. But I mean, I think the game plan right now, I think this is where you get to the point where you have an NBA coach like Brad Stevens, who's actually a college coach like Brad Stevens, who's now reached the point that he's never been to in his career as, you know what I'm saying, a professional coach. And right now I think he's trying to find his way, and I think that's really what you're seeing with Avery Bradley. 0-for-2 from three-pointers. That's indicative of a scheme. They're not using him to shoot threes when they should be. 0-for-2 from 3 points in 33 minutes. He should at least be shooting five 3-pointers a game if he's our best 3-point shooter or best 3-point shooter from the backcourt. You know what I mean? And Jared Sullinger,
he just really wasn't in the flow of the game tonight. I mean, he just wasn't in the flow.
Nobody really was, and that's, I think, the issue.
Nobody was in the flow of the game tonight. Yeah. Nick, thanks for the call. Check your Facebook messages.
Appreciate it. Have a good show, y'all.
Later. I honestly, you know, back to, and again, one more time, I'm going to go back to Evan Turner. I hope he doesn't go anywhere in the off season.
Oh, well, I mean, well, like you said, $10 million isn't nothing with the cap getting ready to go crazy. So that's people cry about anything they can cry about. Oh, don't give nobody the money. But you have to build a team. And you just can't keep saying, like this whole KD to Boston thing. I mean, I like Kevin. Don't get me wrong. Kevin's from where I'm from. I truly do like him. Do I want Kevin in Boston? I'll be the honest truth. No. If he comes here, will I accept it? Yes. I just don't.
Kevin Durant? What?
No. I know it sounds crazy that I don't want Kevin Durant, because I look at the Oklahoma City Thunder team right now. Russell Westbrook is the best player on that team. I think we always keep overlooking Westbrook because he's playing with Durant. Durant, I mean, he's getting back to his numbers, but it's Westbrook. It's Westbrook that's the guy on that team right now. It's his team. If Durant came in, Nick, don't get me wrong, I would be the first one to text you and say, KD's in Boston, but is he my first preference? No, I like to build a team, and I don't want the pressure on us to jump out there and go get this one guy and thinking this one guy could get us to the next level, because I still think he would not come to the East. Also, where he would be playing LeBron James a little bit more than what he's playing them already. So, I don't know. I'll take that with a grain of salt and run with
that. I don't know. I don't think he's coming to Boston either, but I'd give up just about anybody for him. I can tell you that. I'd love to see Durant in Boston. Anyway, as you just heard, Nick just called in to the toll-free call lines, and the call lines are made toll-free by SeatGeek, who powers our call lines. Have you ever been frustrated trying to get your tickets online? Most sites make it complicated. They try to sneak in huge fees at the checkout. That's why you need to try SeatGeek, and they have an amazing mobile app right now that literally aggregates tickets based on your preferences, whether it's price or seating preference. So because you're listening to the Celtics postgame show, we're going to give you a $20 rebate off your next purchase. Could be sporting events, could be concert tickets, could be anything. To get your $20 rebate on tickets, download the free SeatGeek app for iOS and Android. Go to the settings tab, click add a promo code, enter the promo code CelticsBeat, one word. SeatGeek will then send you $20 after you've made your first purchase. Download the free SeatGeek app today and use the promo code CelticsBeat. And while we're on the SeatGeek call lines, let's continue to take calls as we have Charles, who just dropped off the call line. Never mind. So it's back to just me and you, Brian. I'm fine with that. You and I can talk. Oh, no. You and I can talk all night long, dude. So, yeah, I don't know where we were at. But Durant. Yeah, I'd give anybody up for Durant. But so let me ask you a question. Let me bring up one more thing about Turner. $10 million we're talking about. Didn't we pay Jeff Green $10 million when the cap wasn't so friendly to paying players $10 million and he did absolutely nothing?
Yeah. Paid Jeff Green the exact same thing. Paid Jeff Green. And if it wasn't 10, it was like 11. I think it was actually more than 10. But
I think it was more than 10.
Maybe 11-ish, 12-ish, close to that number. I know it's close to a high number because we all used to be venting. I remember we vented on this show left and right about Jeff.
Uncle Green. Jeff. We beat up on Uncle Jeff something fierce. The other thing I wanted to reminisce about, too, and I can't, and you might be able to remember this because it was back in our heyday of doing these shows. There's something about Luis Scola. Did Garnett cheap shot him, or what? Did something happen with KG and Scola?
Oh, man.
When he was with Houston? I think he was with Houston, wasn't he?
I can't remember. Garnett's done something to so many people. It's just, it's I can't remember off the top of my head. If somebody remembers, feel free to refresh.
Call in.
You know, Nick and us. Yeah, refresh our brains because KT's always done something to somebody.
Oh, man. I miss those days. I miss those days. Hey, should we? Nick's still on the call lines. Let's bring him back. We know he could yap for the last 10 minutes of the show. So let's bring Nick back for 5 more minutes, and you and I will put in our closing thoughts and wrap this bitch up. What do you say?
Hey, you know, I like this. You guys are like, we became more like Rated R. I like this. Y'all know me. Y'all know me. You got to get the sense for me because when somebody starts telling me that Avery Bradley, because somebody sent me a text message that told me I'm listening. Somebody sent me a text message, another resilient name. They said, I'm listening to the show, and they said, Brian, cut Avery Bradley some slack. What the hell kind of slack am I going to cut him?
It's funny. When Bradley was basically, let's not forget too, Bradley made his way in the D League. He really made his improvements there and then came back. And when Bradley was on the team with KG and the big three, everybody would, oh, Bradley, defensive player of the year. And I used to pick on him terribly back then. Now I look at him as like the only surviving player from that era. And I tend to jump to his defense. I don't know. It's kind of like maybe D. Brown playing in Larry Bird's last year, so I had to defend D. Brown for the rest of his career. I'm not real sure, but anyway, let's go back to Nick here. Nick, you're back with us.
Cool. Speaking of Avery Bradley, I wanted to get back to that point. You sidetracked me with the Evan Turner. You sidetracked me with the Evan Turner talk, and I can't, you know, I can never turn down a good Evan Turner, you know, love fest. But anyways, Avery Bradley. Now, one thing we got to look at is, he needs to be, you know, that three-point shooter that we, you know, expect him to be because we don't have anybody else other than Kelly Olynyk, who is, you know, a little bit rusty right now to do it. And he just hasn't. If you look over the last several games, I actually went and looked at while I was sitting there on hold listening to you guys talk about Evan Turner some more. I went to Basketball Reference and looked it up. He's in the last three games, he's 1-for-11, which, if you know, for the calculus majors out there, is less than 1% from 3-point line, like he was 0-for-2 tonight. And since February 25th, he's 11-for-40 from 3-point line. So I think that's something like 20%, a little bit over 20%, maybe if I rounded up and was nice, that's 21%. So, I mean, since February, and especially in these last three games since Jay Crowder's gone down, these are the games where we expect everybody to step up. I think the first couple of games, Evan Turner didn't step up because, you know, he was kind of put into like a different kind of role. He wasn't really playing, you know, this, with the same people. Now it's time we need to see, you know, players like Avery Bradley. And I don't think, you know, it's not Avery Bradley needs to earn his money because he's going to be on a friendly contract. You know, $8 million a year is friendly come, you know, next year. He's going to be, you know, just like Jay Crowder, going to be making, you know, getting underpaid for his services. But he needs to step up and hit those shots if he's going to be in the game. And I think that Brad Stevens needs a game plan for him. But I will provide you with an analysis that, you know, I came up with. I kind of developed along with other people in on the Facebook group, the Bleed Green, Boston Celtics Bleed Green Facebook group, about Avery Bradley and why he seems to fade later in games and why his defense seems to suffer when he puts up so many shots. And I think it comes back to the fact that he's a 6'1" shooting guard, so he's always, or 6'2", they say, you know, maybe, kind of, you know, he's short for a two, no matter what. And when he plays, other players that on night-in, night-out basis are going to be 2, 3, 4, maybe 5 inches taller than him at the two spot, he's having to jump extra high to get his shot off. If you go onto Google Images or Bing or whatever search engine you like, and you go and look at, you know, Avery Bradley jump shot, and find a picture of him, you know, shooting, where he's at when he releases the ball, he is literally up there about a 36-inch vertical up there jumping. He's way up there when he releases the ball. And there's no way if you're putting up, I don't know what he shot tonight, 4 for 30, if you're putting up 13, 15, you know, that many shots a game, there's no way you can then get down. Playing defense is really taxing. You know what I mean? That was that.
Sure.
I've always been a better defensive player than offensive player. When I used to play, you know, friends and pickup games and stuff, I was never made for the, you know, the official school games. I was always kind of like the loose cannon of the thing. But when I used to play, you know, on the pickup games, and I still do, defense has always been my thing. Even when I was down in Peru, I played kids that played in university down in Peru, and they'd say, man, you know, your defense, you stopped me. No one ever stops me like that. But when you play defense, you get down. It's almost impossible for Avery Bradley to do both. To jump 3 feet in the air every time he's taking, you know, 15 shots a night, and then get back down on the other side of the court, get down, you know what I'm saying, break it down, and get all up in the players the way we saw him do in that 2012 season. Which is why I've been saying Marcus Smart needs to be that guy that gets up under people, and he is. Marcus shows, like, so much, you know, so much IQ for a guy his age. Like, the way he gets into position, he takes those charges, the way he does a lot of things. To make that comparison to the 2012 team, Marcus Smart needs to be that guy and not the guy that was starting in the games and chucking up, you know, 1 for 8 from three-point line. But Avery Bradley, he just can't do both. And you saw Kyle Lowry. I mean, he didn't – Kyle Lowry. I mean, he didn't do anything to stop Kyle Lowry. You'd think if you had the best defender, you'd put him on, you know what I'm saying, their point guard that's lighting you up, and he did absolutely nothing. And he didn't do anything on the offensive side either. I think nobody ever mentions – Avery Bradley as, you know what I'm saying, a cause or a reason why, you know, something might have gone wrong in the game. He's always just looked over, like, ever since that 2012 season, just like you said, he's kind of like that relic, that leftover, the one that, you know, that built himself up and brought himself up and actually took over a starting job from the legendary Ray Allen. And you know what I mean?
All right.
Basically doing it with that defense, and he's just not – I don't think he's that defensive player anymore, and I don't think he's cut out to really be an offensive, you know, cornerstone of the team either.
So what do you do, trade him?
Yeah, I think he should be the number one – I think he should be one of the number one options for a trade piece that you put out on the team. Who else are you going to trade? You obviously can't trade Jay Crowder, which I'll save my rant about how great Jay Crowder is. Well, actually, no, I won't. As a matter of fact, Jay Crowder –
oh, my God.
He's making $8 million a year. He's making $8 million a year. Nobody else on this team can say they're more valuable to this team than Jay Crowder. So anybody that has contract negotiations coming up needs to recognize Jay Crowder is going to be playing for $8 million a year next year, right? And he's obviously the most valuable player, one of the two most valuable players on this team, along with Isaiah Thomas. Right?
Isaiah,
so,
yep,
you know,
yep, agree.
he stopped talking. Holy cow. I said, let's bring back Nick for 5 minutes. He talked the entire 7 minutes. Nick, we got to run.
No, that's why I cut it short. That was short. That was a short version.
Wow,
that
was abrupt. That was an abrupt cutoff. Nick, check your Facebook messages. Goodbye.
Will do.
All right. There he goes. All right. So anyway, it's a road game, so no guard report tonight, but I got to get the shout out there. It's the only post game show shot on the famed parquet floor. The guard report is available on CLNS Radio YouTube channel after every Celtics home game. It's hosted by CLNS Radio's locker room reporter, Jared Weiss, and Comcast Sportsnet New England's Jimmy Toscano. The guard report breaks down the latest contest at TD Garden, is equipped with raw and uncut videos from the locker room and press table. It's all shot in crystal clear HD, available on demand at youtube.com/CLNS Radio. Let's get in a really quick break here, Brian, and we'll come back and wrap up the show.
Yeah. Hi, this is Larry H. Russell with a message on behalf of the network. As the leading online provider of audio-video coverage of the Boston Celtics, CLNS Radio delivers fans the most provocative discussion and analysis from the most noted personalities in the Celtics realm of the World Wide Web. Home to the number one rated weekly podcast, which covers the NBA's winningest franchise, Celtics Beat is released first thing every Sunday morning. We deliver the hottest of takes and get the lowdown on all things Celtics from players, league executives, and the biggest names in the national basketball media. And it doesn't end there. The original Celtics podcasters, John Duke and Justin Poulin, have returned. Available Mondays on clnsradio.com. Celtics Stuff Live is back and better than ever before, with featured guests that are the most familiar voices to Celtics Nation. Basketball in Boston is heating up, and you don't want to miss any of this. Download the CLNS Radio mobile app now, available for your iPhone and Android.
Well, Brian, this was fun getting back on the air with you, buddy, and I'm glad you're back in the fold. The hosting scheduling here got a lot easier having you on board, man. I always enjoyed hosting shows with you. So as we're getting now down to the last couple minutes of the show, give me your closing thoughts on this team and where you see them going versus Philadelphia and then meeting again with Toronto on Tuesday at the Garden.
Philly's tanking. Philly is tanking again, as you can see. So beat the crap out of them. Let me tell you what Philly's going to do real quick. Philly's going to give you a good first, maybe a good second quarter. After that, Brett Brown will go in the locker room and say, guys, you know what time it is. We got to lose this game. We cannot win it. So guess what? The Celtics have to take advantage of it. They play Toronto again soon. You better go out there with some aggression. You better go out there ready to kick some ass and take some names, because I think this team still can be a threat in the playoffs, but they have to learn how to win big games on the road and win games at home. You just can't afford to do both. You can't lose on the road and lose at home. You can't do it. Of course, that'll get you throughout the playoffs. And I haven't said it in a long time, Nick, so I'll bring it back. I'll bring it back for the people who've never heard me say it. See, because here with me, it just ran out the tongue one day. I said it. Keep it green. Keep it clean.
Ah, blast from the past, man. And I'm looking forward to doing more shows. The playoffs, we're going to be stacked with all the original post-game show hosts and also a couple newbies that have come on board recently that have really been amazing. So it's great to get back on air with you, Brian, and also some of the new guys. And always good to hear from Nick, whether he's in Peru or Florida or wherever he is, Tampa, I think, right now, I don't know. He's always moving. So it's good to hear from Nick. And that's my closing thoughts, man. So let's keep it – what is it? Keep it clean and keep it green.
Keep it green. Keep it green. Keep it clean.
You know where I think that came up after that one rant I went on about the Miami Heat doing the Miami Shuffle? I was going on and on and on and on. I was cursing, and I think I may have had a couple drinks. You're like, Nicky, you got to keep it green and keep it clean.
Keep it clean. And we just roll with it. And we just roll with it.
We roll with it from there. So he's Brian Langford. You can find him at Brian Ain't Lion on Twitter. I'm Nick Gelso. You can find me at CLNS_Nick. And then, of course, follow the network at CLNS Radio and on Facebook, facebook.com/CLNS fans. For Brian Langford, I'm Nick Gelso. We are out of here. We'll see you Sunday night.
Adios, amigos.
Later.